720 WGN. It is On the Road with Dane. We're looking for some bumper music. It's going to be there. Just imagine whatever your favorite summer song is, because when you look outside, that's what I hear. I hear like the Beach Boys.
I'm doing an Al Jarreau thing for it.
Oh, nice. Now, Bob, I figured you were more of a beatbox guy.
No, I do play harmonica, and I left it over at the
See?
Other end. So.
That would be in the emergency.
I have a beatbox friend, though.
Safety net. Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
Now, is that something that you learn? Is there a major for that, or is it something that you just kind of?
I don't think there's a major for it, but there are techniques. He's like one of these. If you go cuppity, cuppity, cuppity.
And you kind of slap the chest a little bit, and of course the breathing.
Slap. Yeah. Lisa, Bobby McFerrin, like I said, Al Jarreau.
Wow. Now you're getting. Now you're getting into like the royalty section.
We are
things.
Getting in that.
All right, well, Bob Kessler in the booth. Lise Graham is on as well, so we're going to work on her stuff. And today's show is going to be jam-packed as well. We mentioned a little bit with Scott. We've got Stephanie Izard and Sarah Gruenberg. Steph Izard, you know her from Girl and the Goat, Little Goat, Little Goat Cafe, Duck Duck Goat, and you know her from Top Chef. And her and Chef Sarah Gruenberg, and you know and love her work over at Spiaggia, and of course she's killing it at Monteverde. They are making the road trip. They're going to be driving out to Kitchen Stadium tomorrow night for Food Network for Iron Chef Gauntlet. We'll be talking with them a little bit after the break, and then we'll have the people from the Wakanda Cruise Night. So this is something we're going to do on a regular basis with the show. If you'll remember from a couple weeks ago, we had the folks in from Westmont, and I love those. And you look outside, it's the kind of thing that should be happening now, but these are previews of things that are coming up a little bit later on in the summer. But some of the best cruise nights that are out there, whether it's a cruise night where people are doing it on a weekly basis, some of them doing it once a month, some of them are special events that happen just once in the summer, but they can take over entire communities, and you have great cars, great classic cars, great music, a lot of camaraderie from the community. So the people from Wakanda are going to be in studio after the news at 2:30. We'll be talking with them. JD Scott talked about it with Scott a little bit earlier. Hey, that's Scott Gatun, no relation, right? So, Lisa, is your booth working again?
Yeah, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Sure. Do you play an instrument in case we needed it in the backup? Do you have, like, the spoons?
Right, exactly.
The jug?
Just beatboxing.
The beatboxing, any of those?
Yeah, I don't know what's going on.
Oh, all right. Well, okay. JD Scott is going to be on with us. He has been on. He was on the Today Show. He was on cover of People Magazine. He has been a longtime guy, not necessarily behind the scenes, because he's been part of Property Brothers, part of Property Brothers at Home, part of Brother versus Brother, some of those big hit shows on HGTV. I've known him for a number of years. He's going to be joining us a little bit later on in the program. Mark Martin, NASCAR Hall of Famer, is going to be joining us. And an interesting thing is that his favorite music, I like to kind of team up the music, you know, for the person, the bumper music, with something that they like or identifies with them. Mark Martin, think of him as a NASCAR person, racing, not necessarily associated on a regular basis with rap, but he is he's got one of his favorite raps, so you're gonna have to listen to that too. We'll be talking about that as well. And then AMG, the Automotive Mentoring Group, they'll be in studio. So Alex Levesque and Gregory Alonzo will be in studio with us, talking about the difference that they're making on the automotive side with kids in the community, changing lives and starting careers. And when you talk about starting, you know, this is happening. I can't believe it. It's like you guys flipped a switch and made this happen, because it is summer and on the line with us as the farmers markets are starting and the French markets are starting. Wish I could have been with you out in Wheaton today. We've got Leslie Cahill from the Chicago French Markets. So Leslie, welcome to WGN.
Thanks for having me, Dane. It's always a pleasure every year to get a chance to talk to you and talk to your viewers, or
well,
listeners, I guess.
No, Leslie, we've got viewers, WGNradio.com. You've got a visual picture. I don't know that it's compelling television, but you could definitely see what's going on. But how you could not have planned it a little bit better. I know that on the calendar it said today was, which is one of the top markets in all of Chicagoland, probably the country, is the Wheaton French Market, and you had a big sun, you know, maybe on the calendar. It certainly paid off.
Yes, it did. We had to dodge the raindrops last night as we got our French canopy set up, but it turned out to be an absolutely beautiful day over in Wheaton. We had a full market. We had lovely plants and flowers and artisan crafted breads and you name it. We've got some exciting new vendors out at the markets this year. And tomorrow, we're going to be opening up the Geneva French Market. So that if you missed today in Wheaton, come on out to the Metro parking lot at the northwest corner of South and 4th Street in Geneva from 9 to 2, and you can see the Geneva French Market.
Well, here on the road, we talk about getting out there, seeing some great sights around Chicago, and getting in the car and enjoying, whether it's a great restaurant road trip, some kind of family attraction or things like that. But are you surprised? Because I know, just as you do, having been a part of so many of those French markets, that people come from a long way away to enjoy them. I mean, they really travel.
They do. They'll come up from Springfield. They'll come in from Rockford. Some people will even come down from Wisconsin. It's amazing the reach of the market, and I just think it has such a fun vibe because not only are we focusing on the local foods and plants that are growing here in the Midwest, but we get some great arts and crafts coming in. It's a mixed marketplace, so there's really something for everybody in the family to come out and enjoy.
Yeah, and a lot of different locations. I know that before we let you go, you've got a couple new ones that are opening up, and then after that, make sure you give out the website where people can see, you know, where all the markets are, you know, the times, the dates, and how they can get out there.
Yeah, sure thing. Well, we're going to be opening up again in Nettlehorst School in Chicago. We'll be up in Wilmette. We're going to have a market in Vernon Hills, Lyle, Glencoe. We're working on a market in Highland Park and Glen Ellen and Western Springs. And an exciting addition to our roster this summer, we're going to be operating a food truck market in the Ravinia District. Ravinia District Food Truck Thursdays, that's going to kick off on June 1st. That should be a lot of fun.
That's crazy.
And if you want to know more about our markets, check us out at bensoudounusa.com.
Thanks, Leslie. Enjoy the day, of course, as so many people are doing and have done today out at the markets. And, of course, as the rest of them kind of open up. And thanks for being on the show today.
Thank you, Dane. Have a great day.
All right, you too. So we are going to take a break. When we come back, we are going to have Chef Stephanie Izard and Sarah Grunberg. They are taking that road trip out to Kitchen Stadium for the ultimate battle, Iron Chef Gauntlet, happening tomorrow night for the premiere. So keep it here. It's Dane on the road on 720 WGN. Woo! 720 WGN on the road with Dane here, Michigan Avenue, Chicago, Illinois. There is no place better in the world right now when you look at that weather, and it's the first of, I'm sure, many nice days that are coming. But this is, I think, one you appreciate more because it is, you know, the first one that we've had verifiable, almost 80 degrees today. So get out there and enjoy it, but keep your radio on here to WGN. So I wanted to mention, too, 312-981-7200. You can call in, you can text in. The way to go ahead and be entered for our Indy 500 tickets today is to name off, just give some suggestions for your favorite place to see cars, whether it's a museum, a car, I know we got the Volo one, or whether it's one of the great cruise nights or car shows that happen all around Chicagoland. And on a regular basis here on the show, we're going to be featuring them, not only them, the cars, and just mentioning them, but the people and the communities. I think it's so cool that so many of the communities are involved completely. Some of them, they block off the streets. Everybody looks forward to it, whether it's the business people, whether it's the car people, of course, they love to show it off. The restaurants, some of the, you know, the bars, the stores, and certainly the thousands of people that come out may not have a car at all and may not live from that community, but they just get out there and enjoy seeing the things. And but right now, two people are going to be taking a road trip to one of the most intimidating places in the world when it comes to the culinary side, is Iron Chef Stadium. And it's Chef Stephanie Izard, and she's you know her from Girl and the Goat, Little Goat. She was a Top Chef champion. She's one of our most beloved chefs here in the Chicagoland area, and Chef Sarah Gruenberg, so much great stuff over at Spiaggia, and Monteverde is killing it. She also was a Cochon champion as well. Just this last year, we saw her out in Aspen. So they are going to be taking their Chicago culinary chops and pride to the Food Network coming up for Iron Chef Gauntlet. It's going to be exciting, guys. Welcome to WGN.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
Even on the TV side, there isn't a lot of shows where you have, you know, Alton Brown there doing the play-by-play at the same time. And Iron Chef, I know, it's a whole another level. It's one thing to have the food as entertainment, but this is extreme competition with a lot of street cred, a lot of, you know, just pride on the line. And so, Stephanie, I know that you've done it, you've participated in it before. How much is that? Because I know it's a little bit of a different game as far as the format this year, but how much did that help you as far as preparing for it?
I think it helped me in just motivating to want to go on the show. I did a challenge years ago against Michael Simon, and he beat us because he was an Iron Chef. And I came back really upset, and my sous chef said to me, he's like, well, that's why it's called Iron Chef and not called Iron Challenger. Right. I was like, okay, yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense. So I think I wanted to get back into the world and see if I could kind of prove it to myself. That's something that always drives me. So just the opportunity to possibly be an Iron Chef was really intriguing.
And for both of you guys, I mean, there's a lot of weight here. There's chefs from around the country here, and of course, chefs from all over, you know, the world who participate in one Iron Chef, but kind of representing and being indigenous Chicago personalities. Do you feel extra pressure to do this for the home team? Or did you
for
never...
sure. Look at, you know, it's like you're wearing your Cubs hat, you know, what's happening at the Blackhawks. It's like Chicago is a very proud city of our sports teams. And like, I remember after winning Top Chef, I walked into a bar and people started cheering like I had just won some sort of like sporting event. And I was like, yeah, I mean, I'm a very competitive person. So I think we both feel that support from the city of like just loving and supporting all the chefs and all the restaurants. So hopefully we do the city proud. We can't tell you guys what happened, but we'll see.
Yeah. Chicago is the place where we both decided to, you know, plant roots and open our restaurant. Thank you. And so it's, you know, Chicago's the best city in the U.S., in my opinion, and a place that I want to cook, and it's fun to do that.
One of the things that's kind of cool about the show is that the ingredients are sometimes kind of different, kind of odd. I think familiarity with diverse cuisines is important, and you guys have traveled a lot. Like, Sarah, you've traveled the world. How much of that experience went into you being prepared?
A lot. You always have to have a few tricks up your sleeve and some ingredients and techniques to use. And traveling is the best way to find that throughout eating and drinking and traveling the world.
Well, you know, for us that are watching it, we're thinking just basics, because it would be hard just to make anything. But as you've traveled and you've had some dishes that you found across the world that you really liked, do you start to try to, you know, kind of showcase your talents or your skills, or, you know, kind of show off a little bit with some of the dishes? Where you're like, oh, this will be great. This will really wow the judges.
Yes, but most of the time I'm wrong. If they'll actually like it, no. Yeah, you always want to have a few techniques and ingredients, but it really comes with what your heart tells you to cook that day. It really does. Like,
so you're channeling some kind of culinary spirit animal or something at the time?
Pretty much. You know, if you deviate from that, it's really not a good idea.
Now,
you got to cook what you're going to cook.
And Chef Stephanie Iser, of course, you know and love her as from Top Chef and all the great restaurants here and all the things that she has done. And I remember your experience. I remember texting back and forth with Bo McMillan when you were on, talking about like, wow, this is so great. And we talked a little bit about it before, but how much just, you know, sometimes just being familiar with just the situation, knowing kind of what you're involved with and what you're up against can help a lot. And so talk a little bit about the importance of that experience with being prepared.
Sure. I think, you know, I think for both Sarah and I, having been on Top Chef before, like, definitely prepared us to go on the Iron Chef Gauntlet, because we know what it's like to cook in competition and know that, like, yeah, deviating a little bit is a bad idea and not seasoning properly is a bad idea, and kind of knowing it just makes something really delicious and then you know you're not going to get kicked off. But I think going into Iron Chef Gauntlet, it was a little bit more of, yeah, some techniques and things that you can wow people with and something you're excited to show off on television and maybe looks really cool. So people are like, ooh, wow, she's pretty badass.
Yeah, and, you know, we had a lot more to lose now. Back then, it was like,
well, back
Wild
then,
West,
right,
you know? didn't have restaurants yet.
Right, and yeah. It's a little more embarrassing when you have restaurants and people have really high expectations and you go on TV and you're trying to cook an egg and it's like, oh, it's not working.
Well, you know that's not going to happen. But you mentioned a little bit more to lose now. And I think that is like so, so important. If you're a young person, a young chef just trying to make your name out there, this is great exposure. Just being in the same room, the same show, the same kitchen, arena with those legends, I think elevates almost anybody. But you're right, because you guys are already, you know, acclaimed chefs, you know, highly acclaimed careers. You do have some, I don't know if you have something to lose, because you know it's going to be at a certain level. And I don't think there's anything to be ashamed of
inside.
In those.
Inside,
but
yes.
Right there, there
personally,
is a little bit of a risk, right?
Personally.
Yeah, I think it's funny. When you guys see the show on Sunday, one of the other chefs named Shota, Chef Nakajima, he is a young chef who is just kind of coming into the scene and definitely went into it like knowing he had, you know, nothing to lose, only things to gain by just showing off how awesome he is, but not as fearful of people being like, I thought that you were like a top chef.
Right.
So it's different. Your mental state is a little bit different. I think you need to go in and just be like, you know what? I'm still just going to do the best that I can. But anybody that's in sports or anything, you know, like, what are they up against every day? When look at the Cubs coming back from the World Series, how are they feeling this season? You know, it's scary when people have high expectations.
Even people that have achieved a certain or a very high level of success, they'll talk about it. You know, big time musical acts, you know, they get butterflies before they go out and do that. Is there any of that, even with all that you guys have both achieved, when you get there, you're like, whether it's just, well, you got to go out and prove it again, or there are maybe some self-doubts no matter what's on the resume?
Yeah, I mean, well, on the show, each episode we walk out of this elevator, but standing there waiting for that episode to start and not knowing what the challenge is going to be. And sort of we're all talking to each other like, what do you think? Do you think they're going to have like a live eel today? Like, what do you think is going to be underneath that altar?
Yeah.
A rattlesnake, which Sarah has experience with that right. I don't. So just your heart starts to pound a little bit and you just start, is today the day? I mean, they definitely create that scenario where the chefs are as nervous as possible.
Yeah, for me, it was like, don't be spam. I don't know if I can handle spam.
Spam's deliciously saltiness.
There's things you can do with spam, but right.
Yeah, but that's what's great about
every
the
chef
Iron
has
Chef.
Their own peers.
Yeah, a Kitchen Stadium and the Iron Chef Gauntlet brand is not about giving us things like spam. That's what makes it so much better than I think right. other shows on television is that it really is real ingredients, things that we will use in our kitchens. It's not like, hey, here's some, you know, here's some cheese crackers and some random things from the grocery. You're not running through the grocery store aisle of things that
Teddy
you would
Grahams.
Never put in your food. Yeah.
I love some Teddy Grahams.
And Sarah, of course, it's coming up on the Food Network 8 Central. This Sunday is the premiere. You've got a new format. So explain a little bit about how it's different with the three Iron Chefs now.
Oh, man. So there's seven of us that go on to compete, and we compete in day-to-day challenges. And then the winner of the first challenge has to choose someone else to go into the secret ingredient showdown with and compete.
Adding a little bit of, like, drama to the show where we were sort of, oh, well, I'm going to choose you because you're the best, and I want to see if you go down. So adding, you know, they have to add some drama to the show a little bit.
We talked about the risk, a little bit of the risk of participating, of course, the excitement of it. And you guys are always up to challenges. You never stop. If you would have stopped a long time ago. But how did it happen? You know, did someone approach you? Because I think just to be considered for this show, you have to be at a certain level. I mean, Chopped is great, but this is like, you know, 10 levels higher than that just to be considered. So how did they approach you? Did they just call you up one day? Someone shows up at your doorstep? Is it the guy with the big check in the yard and the balloons? How's it work?
Oh, that would have been
awesome.
Yeah, the balloons would have won me over in like 5 seconds. I think, you know, for me, it was getting a call, you know, obviously through my people, call your people type thing. But I never thought that I would go back and do more competitive television after going back for some other versions of Top Chef and not really doing my best. But because it was the Iron Chef brand and that name and that, it's just, I'm so excited that it's coming back, whether or not I was part of it. So I felt like it was something I couldn't turn down. I couldn't say no to.
Yeah, as a young, I mean, even as a line cook starting off, would run home Saturday nights to watch the Japanese version of Iron Chef. It's one of those shows that I think started all of the TV competition chef shows that really brought it to life. And just to get that call to say, hey, what do you think was over the moon excited.
Oh, it is going to be great. You know that it's going to be compelling television with some of your favorite personalities in the world of food, iconic legends, and a new crop of Iron Chefs in the waiting as well. It is 8 p.m. on Sunday night's Iron Chef Gauntlet. Stephanie Izard and Sarah Gruenberg. Jonathan Sawyer, a guy who I know as well, is going to be involved along with some other great chefs. And so here on the road, we talk a little bit about travel as well. And so as you guys have traveled, if you want to leave the listeners with, from a food perspective, culinary-wise, like what was one of the favorite places that you went? And one of those cool discoveries that you had along the way on that trip. Stephanie, if you want to go first.
Sure. I just, you know, having just opened DuckDuckGo just over a year ago, we went to China and Taiwan. And if you go to Chengdu, there's just amazing markets where you can watch noodles being made right in front of you and then eat them right then. And you're just never going to have something that amazing. The textures, the flavors. So, yeah, go to Chengdu.
Chengdu. Yeah. Sarah, what do you got?
For me, it was Tokyo. I went to Sushi Sawada and actually cried. It's like a 6-seat sushi bar, and the husband and wife team, and there was live prawns there, and they steamed them in front of you and then cleaned them and made nigiri with the tail and fried the head. It was like, I'd never
mind
seen
blowing.
I mean, it was,
See? The passion that you guys have for what it is that you do certainly comes through in the success that you've had, not only, you know, on television and the restaurants for the thousands and thousands of customers that you have. And it's going to be front and center on Food Network at 8 p.m. and Iron Chef Gauntlet. Guys, so thanks so much for taking time out. We're going to enjoy you tomorrow night on Iron Chef. And thanks for being on WGN today.
Thank you.
Hi, I'm John Force, and you're on the road with Dane, WGN, and I'm still the champ. I'm not just Ashley's daughter. I mean, she's my daughter. I'm still her dad.
Well, I left Kentucky back in 49 and went to Detroit working on assembly line.
720 WGN on the road with Dane here on Michigan Avenue. Chicago, Illinois All-State Showcase Studio, and we are going to be taking listeners all around Chicagoland throughout the course of the summer as we visit some of the great communities where there are some of the best places to see cars, whether it's cruise nights, whether it's car shows, some of those events that happen once a year or some that happen once a month. In studio is one that we've gotten a lot of feedback from, and we've gotten a lot of people love it, and I know that people are going to be enjoying it this summer. It's hard to imagine this summer being in the future because it seems like it's this summer right now. In studio from the great village of Wakanda, we have Jason Lorries. He is a Cruise Night committee member, and we've got Chuck Black. He is a village trustee and one of the committee members as well, and Maria Weisberg. She is the executive director of the Wakanda Chamber of Commerce. Guys, welcome to WGN.
Thanks, Dane.
Thank you, Dane.
You know, it seems like it is one of those things that organically happens, and it's something that just happens and pops up. And in Chicagoland, we have a number of great car and cruise night events. But when you talk to the people, not just the people that walk up and down the sidewalks, enjoy the cars, or even the people that drive the cars there, for the communities itself, it's a lot of work. These things don't happen, you know, by themselves. So, Jason, let's talk about it. You reached out, and we've gotten a lot of feedback from other people who said, like, Wakanda is one of the places that they go, that they love. And so how did it all start? I mean, was it one day you're like, I like cars, I'd like to see more of them in Wakanda?
Well, you know, I'm a car guy, so I start off by going a lot of cruise nights myself. And then, you know, our town, we had this cool little Main Street pop up and with all these restaurants, about 15 restaurants within a 3-block radius. And, you know, they were looking for ways to get the word out that this existed. And I figured, well, you know what? This would be a great area for a cruise night. We should really think about hosting one here in Wakanda. And that started, and it kind of took traction throughout the village hall there in a way.
About what? When was that? Like, what year was that?
That was 3 years ago. We're about ready to start our fourth season.
Okay, wow.
And so we started doing some research and going to other events and talking to other organizers of events. And we basically started from there. And Chuck was in on the ground floor of that as well.
See, it's good to have a guy that's also, you know, one of the members of the Cruise Night Committee, but then also a trustee as well, right? You know, he's able to, I don't want to say pull a little string, but at least kind of convey and, you know, and share the importance of the event with his fellow leaders on the community level, right?
It was, and it was all, you know, swallowed up a whole. Everybody enjoyed it. We got right off the start. We went with Jason's lead and took it from there. Everybody had a job to do. Mine was kind of working on the village side. You know, what do we have to do to get streets closed on, get the word out, work with our local businesses, et cetera.
So right from the get-go, you guys at least understood what it took. Jason, you said that you had spent some time at other events around Chicago. So what were the things that you saw? You know, because next week we're going to have the people from Roselle on. They're in their 17th year. And so they started at a time when maybe there wasn't a lot of examples, at least for them, front and center to kind of get to share. But you had the luxury of seeing some other ones, knowing the strengths of your community, but also some of the challenges. So what were some of the things you saw that you said, we don't want to do that, and we definitely need to do this and this?
Right. Well, the first biggest thing, I think, was location and having it on Main Street and not just tucked in a parking lot off somewhere. Have a location where people will want to come and where they'll want to, you know, maybe grab dinner after looking at cars, grab a drink somewhere, and just a really cool little area. And that was our center focus. I remember Linda Starkey was also a trustee that really took this going with the marketing committee. And I said, if we do this, we've got to have it right in this location and span it out from there. And they really, as Chuck and Linda, and worked to get the streets blocked off to make us allow us to do that.
Well, Chuck, when you, and it's kind of good too, because sometimes these things do sort of pop up organically, and we'll have Maria talk to on the business side in just a second, but where, you know, maybe a restaurant is hosting it, or maybe it's in the parking lot of a store, and it kind of takes its own life, but then those businesses aren't as permanent or can't be as supportive as maybe the community can, right? So you knew, you're thinking to yourself, this would be a great location for it, not just cars for the sake of cars,
right?
But this would be a great place. So Chuck, you thought, right, before it, you know, starts off in some other parking lot somewhere else, let's get the community around from the get-go.
Right, and that was a big thing. Like Jason said, we wanted it in downtown Wakanda. We wanted it on Main Street, and we worked from day one with that was our only thought in mind.
So, Maria, you know, from the Chamber of Commerce standpoint, and you know, we've talked to a number of different communities, and sometimes it isn't everybody pulling on the same rope at the same time. Sometimes the business community, because, you know, these cars, you know, maybe they don't necessarily translate, at least initially, to expanded business. They can be, wow, you know, the whole town is backed up and my customers can't get to it. So what was it like, you know, when they approached you and you got involved with it? Was it something that you saw as, hey, this is going to be a win-win for everybody? Or was it something that you said, well, I think it could be if it's done right for the businesses?
Well, I'm actually Wakanda's biggest cheerleader, and I was a business owner right when they started this before I became the executive director. So speaking as a business owner, I was all over it. I knew the residual effect would be that it would eventually bring you more business. And since we have all the restaurants and bars right in this small area, they get it. It's the service people that appointment-based businesses that really had to be convinced that we'll help you, we'll work with you, we'll get your ads out there. They're very good about putting marketing out there for all the businesses saying, hey, come visit us again, get a discount for the season. So they're all pulling together much, much better than I think other towns might, because we're such a tight-knit community.
Well, I think it's one of the benefits of having you involved right there from kind of the overarching part on the business side, and then having, you know, with the community, Chuck involved, to where, you know, you have kind of that line of communication open with the different businesses, where it isn't just an independent business starting it that impacts other businesses in ways that may not always be beneficial. Well, let's talk a little bit about the cars. You know, have you recruited, you know, Jason, as you're like going around to different shows and saying, are you saying like, hey, you got to bring this car up to Wakanda?
Yeah, absolutely. From the beginning, it was a bit of a sales pitch that we had to do when you're starting off, especially our first night. We knew we wanted to have roughly around 100 cars.
That's pretty impressive. I've been to some that have just started out, and it's like, not 100 cars,
right?
You know,
right.
But it's got to start somewhere.
And sometimes you don't come back if it's a smaller event. So we knew we needed to, in a way, prime the pump. And so I was going to car owners and begging them, basically, come, please. You know, I think this is going to be a good event. I think we have a great location. And initially, we had to sell the location. And now, since it's really taken off, it's kind of just grown on its own. Uh-huh. And once somebody comes, and you know, if they have a good time, they spread the word. And honestly, it's been a great challenge. Initially, but when we were growing by 100 cars per night the first year, it was like, wow, we need more help. We need to get more people out here. We need to have a better way of getting the cars in. It was a great problem to
have.
Crazy,
right?
Yeah.
I mean, it is a good problem. So where are you guys at now car-wise? And you do it, it's once a month, right?
Correct.
Which is good, because you got to really, you know, take your hats off to some of these communities that have, you know, big events, and they do it every week. Just think about what's involved with that. I think it helps on the business side too, that it isn't like every week, because, you know, some of them, if they're done right, they can kind of take over a community.
Right.
So was that right away that your thought process is, let's do it once a month, something manageable, so that you can kind of ramp up the interest and maybe have them be really special events for people?
Yeah. You know, I think we didn't, like you said, we didn't want to overwhelm the community. There was another cruise night in the area that was once a month. It worked out well. It was one that we enjoyed going to and kind of used as a blueprint. Figured if we could do it on an opposite night of them, that we'd have a good chance. And we opened it up to all years of cars, so all collector cars are welcome at our event, which keeps it actually very diverse. You see a lot of different cars at our event that you might not see at an event that limits it by years. You know, you see some newer Ferraris, some newer Lamborghinis.
You think about it. I know Geneva's got one that kind of lends itself to more of kind of the import cars, and that one is really well attended. It's like once a year, right, that they do that. But you just think of a lot of, and that's great that you guys are open to it, because a lot of times it's mostly classic cars, you know, whether it's new or old, but those kind of muscle car situations. So to have, you know, your Ferrari, it's not something you see every day.
Right. We just want people to come out and enjoy themselves and have a large collection of vehicles to look at. And we figure, hey, if somebody's going to come to Wakanda, we don't want to turn them away based off of what kind of car they have. Just come on out, drive up here, and enjoy yourselves. And it's worked out well. We've been shocked at how well it's worked out.
Have a good night. Enjoy yourselves. Enjoy the town. Enjoy the cruise night.
Yeah. So Chuck, and you said it's been, you know, it's increased over time, and
yes.
And that's the greatest thing, is you know you're doing something right, because this is one of the events that really does work. It works both ways. It's kind of a double-edged sword, where, you know, if everybody has a great time and everybody sees this as a place, this is a very communal kind of situation, a demographic, yes, where they talk to each other, like, where have you been? Oh, I went out here, or I went out there. If it's great, they'll tell two people and you guys will grow.
Oh, yeah.
If it's disappointing, they'll do the same, you know, and things will be hard to maintain. So where are you guys at car-wise? Like, how, on an average night for an event, how many cars?
Well, for last year, I said when we started, we had 100 the first night, and for the next five nights, we gained 100 cars every night.
Jeez.
For last year, we started off with over 500 the first night, had a couple during July and August where it was hot, and we had in the mid 300s, and we finished with 640 cars in September.
How do you? Yeah, how can you? Come on, guys! Because you also too is when it. I mean, it's one of those things that's a good problem to have, but also it can right. be a tough problem to manage, right?
When and this so was many. This was part of the challenges you were talking about was our appointment based businesses trying to get their customers in and out, try to get our cars in and out, try to get them off, you know, Route 176 out where we are to try to keep traffic flowing, and try to come up with still have a program. Run well enough that everyone's having a good time enjoying themselves.
Well, and also speak, too, of part of the commitment of the community. It's gotten to the point where they moved the village meeting to yes. the night before the cruise nights. Usually the village yep. meeting was on Tuesday nights, and they moved it to Monday, which opened up the Village Hall parking lot so we can have reserved spots for our appointment-based See. Businesses. It's amazing how we've all come together and yes. come up with these solutions to make it happen.
See, but I think, guys, that is the benefit of having everybody at that same table from the get-go. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, you're trying to initiate these conversations on the fly, you know, and then you may have already built up some resentments about, you know, because the village is mad because the parking lot's full or there's well, nothing there.
Yeah, I'll say we were a bit naive in the beginning. We thought if we yeah. could get all these people coming in, we track people from 72 different towns. We thought if we could bring in these people, which far exceeded our initial expectations.
So you're like doing the demographics of the
everybody
people.
Everybody would just be ecstatic.
Probably Marianne the shopping end. Yep. Who are these people? Where do they shop? What
we
are
thought
they
everybody
like?
Would be ecstatic. And we had to do a little backtracking and work through some issues. And rightfully so, some of our businesses had some issues that, you know, they've got their, yes. their customers in.
But that's great. You guys have that open line of communication. Let the listeners know. We've got Jason Lurie. He is a Cruise Night committee member and one of the Genesis members of the Wakanda Cruise Night. Chuck Black is also in. He is a village trustee and one of the committee members. And Maria Weisberg, she is the executive director of the Wakanda Chamber of Commerce. They're talking about the Cruise Night. It is a big thing. It happens in the summer. It happens once a month. When we come back from this break, we're going to talk a little bit about how it's affected the businesses in a positive way, because we'll talk about businesses maybe having some ways that they kind of make it enhance the experience for people. Maybe they have some specials or some things that run during the cruise nights. And then we're going to talk a little bit about Wakanda in general. We're going to flip the globe for those people that haven't been to Wakanda. I don't know who you would be, but if all these world travelers, of course you got to get out there because there are things to do in all of those other days during the month as well. So we're going to talk Wakanda when we come back. It's Dane Neal on the road here on 720 WGN. WGN on the road with Dane, and in studio we have the brain trust, or at least part of it, like one of the lobes of the brain trust for the Wakanda cruise night. Not Wisconsin, of course. It was 600 cars. Once you get up to 1200, you'll be up near the border there.
Yes,
so maybe you'll have to get the Wisconsin people involved. But we have Jason Lurie's in. He is a cruise night committee member. Chuck Black, a village trustee and committee member, and Maria Weisbrook, executive director of the Wakanda Chamber of Commerce. Just so impressive, guys, that you have been able to do this in a kind of strategic fashion, like in just a handful of years to get one of the bigger, kind of more talked about cruise nights. I think it's a testament not only to Jason saying like, hey, let's do this, but you guys, you know, everybody kind of seeing not only some of the great things that can happen from this, but some of the challenges. And we were kind of joking off the air as you get to like 600, and then you start to think, well, geez, where are we going to put all these cars? Because you want everybody to have that positive experience. And then we're, you know, hey, maybe the first rule of Wakanda cruise night is don't talk about Wakanda cruise night. Right, you got to keep it on the have you guys thought about limiting it?
Maybe when people
pull in, you hand them a, because you guys aren't very, you know, a lot of people travel to come visit you,
right,
guys.
Yeah,
you don't
right.
want them to drive all that way and send them home.
Oh yeah, yeah, that's one thing. We still do have, believe it or not, quite a bit of room to grow. Luckily, one of the churches nearby let us use their parking lot, so we haven't even touched that, so we could still continue to grow.
Right.
But yeah, part of it, getting the cars in an orderly fashion where people don't have to wait to get in, that's been a challenge that we've worked through. Everybody, of course, wants to park on Main Street, so we've come up with a system where if They get there early. We stage the cars. We hand out numbers.
See.
And we
see. No, but that's no. Yep. But guys, that is so important. You know that is because it is an event. And as much as it is for the business community and to kind of have it run smoothly, is you want it to look great because that's the visuals for these events are amazing. So yeah. You're going to want to take that that special like 57 Chevy and place it someplace, hey, you get to come up to the front.
That is something with the type of cars. That is something that we've discussed, and there's some very high valuable, very very valuable cars that show up, and of course there's a lot of people that want to see those cars. We've also tried to keep it though where it's on a first come first serve basis of people. If you get there early, you're going to be the first one to park on Main Street. Let's face it, everybody who has a collector car, you're proud of your car. You may not be able to afford a $300,000 Ferrari, but if you've got a $20,000, you're proud of that. And so if you get there early enough, we think you should have a right to park on Main Street.
And it does run the complete range too, as you've got people that have great cars that maybe aren't that expensive, but it's something that they've taken care of and are very proud of and they're excited about. And then you've got some really high ticket items as far as some of the cars that people enjoy as well. On the business side, you're giving people, you've got the cars, 600 of them, some nights for people to get out there and enjoy, but also some people enjoy maybe the ambiance, maybe the bands, the music, certainly those local businesses. So Maria, talk a little bit about what you guys have as far as the businesses and kind of some of the things they do special for those nights.
Well, first of all, like we said earlier, we have 15 restaurants in a 3-block radius. Some of them also serve liquor. We also have a yoga studio. We have
so you, dance you park thing. Your Ferrari, then you get in and do some yoga.
Seriously, she did do a special. I mean, they do all try to have something going on to attract attention to their businesses. I think most of the businesses on Main Street get it and get that if you get the audience from. Again, 32, 52 communities, wherever they're all coming from, they're going to come back. And even working check-in, I've checked people in before, and they say, man, this is a great location, great town, great offers. I came back with my family for dinner on Friday. So the exposure alone, just getting 1,500 people to walk past your storefront is untouched, seriously.
So Chuck is kind of the governmental ambassador of Wakanda here. Let's spin the globe and kind of like tell people where it is for those people that may not have been there. And then, how far it is, what it's close to, and how people should get there.
We're northwest from here. If everybody knows where Lake Zurich is, we're right up the street on Route 12 from Lake Zurich. We're south of Volo and Fox Lake. We're easy to find. I guarantee you that.
And then as far as this is once a month drives a lot of people up there, but I'm sure you're seeing maybe people come there for the cars, but then Maria, maybe they enjoy the restaurant, say, I want to come back here. Or they come there and say, this is a great town. Maybe they move there. Maybe they want to enjoy some of the other things. So Chuck, what are some of the other events that are happening this summer?
We have year-round events. We have just this morning, we had the bunny hop. We have ice fishing derbies. We have triathlons. We have other fun runs throughout the year. We have our street dance in September. Basically, there's something going on every 3 to 4 weeks in Wakanda.
And you guys have some serious car street cred, too, because you guys were part of the iconic scenes for the Blues Brothers.
Yes, it was filmed down on Phil's Beach. So I think everybody pretty much has seen that movie by now. That is one of our claims to fame.
So a cinematic tourist attraction. So the attraction is the night, too. So, Jason, before we let you go, give the information out. If you guys have a site where people can get on, see the different nights that are available, they can see kind of how to get up there. Some of the rules that you guys may have and get out there and enjoy that first night up there in Wakanda.
Yeah, our first event starts June 20th, and it's the third Tuesday of the month running through September. The event technically starts from 5 to 9. Sometimes we have people showing up as early as 2:30, 3 o'clock in the afternoon.
You got to get that spot.
Yeah,
they want the Main Street spot.
So, www.wakandacruisenight.com. We've got a Facebook page. That's probably the best place to get the most up-to-date information on what's going on the Wakanda Cruise Night. And we hope we get some new people out there. We love seeing people come to our event.
They can accommodate them. Don't think they're crowded. They're not.
Yes.
There's yoga.
Yeah. There you go.
Restaurants and yoga. WakandaCruiseNight.com. Get up there and see these guys. It is an amazing city and is one of the top cruise night events. And thanks, guys, for what you're doing, for providing this for everybody, right? And thanks for being on WGN today.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you very much.
All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to have J.D. Scott. He is one of the Scott brothers from Property Brothers HGTV. Going to talk about some of the behind-the-scenes stuff, their family road trips, all the crazy things that happen. So stay tuned. It's Dane Neal on the road on 720 WGN.
Hey, this is Guy Goody from Diners, Drivers, and Dives, and you are on the road with Dane on WGN. Put your seatbelt on. We're on the road.
I like 720 WGN on the road with Dane here in the Allstate Showcase Studio. Beautiful day in Chicago. Almost no place you'd rather be, unless, of course, you could travel the world doing some great things, making some great television and all those kind of things. Now, here's how you can participate in the program. 312-981-7200. That's 312-981-7200. You can text in, you can call in, and you can leave your favorite cruise night and car show destination. We've got a few of them we're going to be reading, Lisa and I will, a little bit later on in the program. Excited to have this guy on. And you know him from his work, you know, Property Brothers, Property Brothers at Home, Brother versus Brother. And we've had him on a number of times over the years. An absolutely great guy. You know, Jonathan Scott, Drew Scott. You may know them a little bit more, but that is changing as this guy is blowing up. He was on, you know, People Magazine. He was on the Today Show, all over the place. People are excited about our next guest. He is an entertainer. He is an actor. He is a singer. He is behind a lot of the great entertainment that the Scott brothers are doing. It's the one and only J.D. Scott. Welcome to WGN.
Hello, how's it going?
It's going great. I mean, it's going great for me. It is going great for you guys. And, of course, the stuff that we do here is kind of under the radar. But you guys are so over the radar. I always think about it, and I do a lot of stuff with the food side, some of the Food Network folks. And there are people who are stars within, you know, that network in the industry. And if you're fans, you know who they are, and you appreciate the work that they do. But you guys have totally kind of broken through that level of HGTV, certainly wonderful, but now you guys are just, I think, just mainstream everyday celebrities.
Well, I don't know about that. I don't like to ring my own bell, but you know, we're doing pretty well, and we have been able to cross over into a number of different areas, which is good for us.
You're in Las Vegas right now, and I wondered, everybody knows, at least the people that have been following, you know, kind of your history there as an entertainer in Las Vegas and doing some of those shows. But it's kind of an interesting thing here in the Midwest. Las Vegas is a far off, you know, mysterious wonderland filled with all sorts of great entertainment, but a lot of other things too. But more and more people, including the NFL, right, have found a reason to make a home in Las Vegas. So, number one, JD, why did you choose Las Vegas? You know, what's it like there as far as opposed to other places? And then bringing your brothers in.
Well, I mean, to be honest, I wasn't the first one. I came at the same time as Jonathan, and I came because he had some business that was going on in Vegas, and I thought, hey, why not? Might be fun. And it was. That was about 9 years ago, and we love this city. It's become home. It's really a city that doesn't sleep, and that's kind of what appeals to me is I like to have the option of doing things at any time of the day. If it's 2 o'clock in the morning and I want to get my tire changed, then I want to get my tire changed.
Are you serious?
So, yeah. Yeah, you can get anything in Vegas at any hour, which is a fantastic thing, especially if you're a night owl like me. But, I mean, it's great for tourists, too. There's a lot to do in this city as far as, you know, the bright lights. You got the casinos. There's some cool stuff, though, that you don't know if you're a tourist. Like, the Neon Boneyard is awesome. That's where all the old neon signs go to die in Vegas so that you can get a tour through there and see some cool stuff and some history. Lots of shows going on, as you know. I mean, this is the show city. There's big acts every single night.
Well, here's the thing, too, is, you know, in the Midwest and all over the country, people travel to Las Vegas. I think it's one of those places that everybody has kind of been for one reason or another. But it is one of those destinations, and you are kind of there permanently. But through the process of what you're doing, all the travel that you guys do, all the travel that you're doing with the shows, and we talked about it, just the rest of America kind of being aware of what it is that you guys are doing. Let's talk a little bit about some of the places that you have traveled. You know, I think just the show and work has kind of taken you all around this country. And were there a couple, I know you love them all, but were there a couple cities that stood out and you were like, wow, this is different or better than I thought it would be?
Yeah, well, you know, we have shot in Vegas, which was fantastic. It's nice to shoot close to home, but usually we're out on the road in other cities. And we've been all over the place for the last few years. And I mean, most recently we did New Orleans,
right,
which was for a show called Brothers Take New Orleans. And that was probably the most fun that I have had on a location. New Orleans, to me, is kind of like Las Vegas in that it doesn't sleep. There's always something going on all night. So I like that. I think that I probably put a few gray hairs on my head from spending too many hours out late when I had to shoot the next morning. But we had a good time there. Let's see, as far as other cities go, right now Property Brothers is filming in Nashville, and I just got back from visiting there, and that was That's amazing. I mean, Nashville is just such a fun, fun town. It doesn't even matter if you're not into country music. It's just a great place to visit, regardless of what your tastes are.
See, you know what? Now you say that, and it is one of those cities that has kind of transformed not only its public image, but also just, I think, the kind of things that go on there. And in fact, we've got some of the Blackhawks here, and they were talking about playing in Nashville, and they absolutely love it. And they call it Nash Vegas. So they call it one of those cities where, you know, it isn't just defined by the country music anymore. Not that there's anything wrong with that, but there's so much to do. It's really a vibrant city.
Oh, exactly. And that's how I feel about it, too. It does look like a little Las Vegas when you're there. It's got the strip. So it's fun. And you know what? I was talking to some people about the hockey as well when I was there. And you know, before the Predators came to town, I guess they didn't know what hockey was, really. And now they're a huge hockey town. They love it. And Vegas is getting a team, too. I'm excited about that.
Oh, so for people that are there in Las Vegas, it isn't, you know, just as we talked about kind of Nashville, it isn't defined just by the shows and just by the gambling anymore, because you've got the NFL coming in, which is huge, which is absolutely huge.
Yeah.
And then you've got hockey, pro sports is there. I mean, it is turning into, I mean, it'll always be Las Vegas, you know, the excitement capital, but it's got a lot of regular fun stuff to do, too.
Oh, exactly. And that was an interesting thing is Vegas had no pro teams. So as of next year, the NHL has a team. And then 2018, the Raiders come to town.
So when you think about the places that you have traveled and you do it, you want to say for work, but you mentioned you get to get out there and enjoy it. And I think just part of what you guys do, too, is you bring so much enjoyment to the people. People love seeing you guys and seeing you working together and being out and about. And so you get to get out there and experience some of those cities. And I was always wondering about this, too. On this show, we talk a little bit about travel and road trips and kind of family vacations. You guys are so close and so tight. Did you guys take any of those kind of family truckster vacations where you guys got in the car or the van or the Winnebago or whatever and kind of took those long distance vacations to like a national park or maybe to like the Grand Canyon or something?
Oh, yeah. I mean, as kids, definitely the whole family would pile into the car every summer. It would be in Canada. We always did our like tours across Canada with the family and go to places like Banff, Alberta and Calgary. And my parents were very much into the whole Western thing, and Calgary had a big stampede every year, which was huge. But a little later on, I stopped going on the family vacations and was planning my own. And my brothers and I used to go all over the place. We'd travel Europe, and I lived in Britain for a while and Australia. And now that we're working so much traveling within North America, I don't go on as many vacations because it's almost like I'm always on vacation. I'm always going to new places, checking stuff out. So I love it. It's fantastic.
Well, okay. So, and think about this. As you have traveled in the past, you know, in your youth and seen some of those places, and I think that's one of the things that's universal about the shows that you're producing and the shows that your brothers are doing is that they are kind of universal. You can put them almost anywhere. You could put those shows, you know, in Canada, in New Jersey, in California, in Vegas, and wherever. Are there places internationally where you guys as a production team are thinking, you know, you have been to some of these other countries around the world that they'd be great fits, you know, that people, your fans would love to see you there? Have you thought about doing that?
Oh, yeah. I mean, there has been talk about it. I mean, there's a lot of people that have to get in on that discussion. The network has to also be on board for it. But, you know, I'm going to quote this number, but I don't know how accurate it is. I believe that our shows are seen in about 100 countries.
Wow.
It's a lot. I mean, I know it's up in the hundreds. And I think that it would be fantastic to take a season over to another country, say Britain or I don't know, anywhere that we've been and we love or that we have history with. I think that'd be fun.
Well, see, one of the things that people really love about what it is that you guys do is, and it's not so much about, I think that the construction side of it is the backdrop. You know, it's the thing that keeps it universal as a structure for the program. But people love the way that you guys, all three of you guys, interact with each other. And then they love the way that you just kind of interact with the people, like the homeowners. It's kind of, you know, just sort of winging it. But I think it's the personality that drives the success.
Well, that's what it's all about for us, too, is, you know, you're not tuning into one of these shows and watching some actors portray something. This is who we are. You know, whatever we're doing on the shows, that's who we are. We have the history in construction. We do like people. We do get along with each other. We like spending time together as a family. So it's all natural. And I think that that comes across to the audience.
What kind of feedback have you had? Because I know, and you and I have known each other for, you know, a number of years. And of course, fans of HGTV will know in some of your solo projects and things that you've done. And they know that you exist and that you've been there. But for the greater, wider world, as people become more aware of the Scott Brothers, I mean, it was pretty crazy, right? You had this kind of like debut out there with, you know, People Magazine, Cosmopolitan, you know, so many different news outlets. What was that like? Were you thinking like, hey, I've been here all along? Or was it like, finally, here I am?
Well, you know what? I think you have to take all of this stuff with a grain of salt and in stride. Yeah, this last week was crazy as far as publicity goes, because pretty much every major entertainment media source did an article on me. I mean, it was Today's Show, it was Entertainment Tonight, did a TV piece.
And right.
A lot of them were talking about how there is this hidden brother that has just broken out onto the scene. And I mean, really, I've been on the scene for a few years. I've been hosting full time for 3 years now.
Absolutely.
But, you know, all press is good press. And I appreciate that they actually did some digging, too. And they put in their articles what I'm currently doing, not just what I used to do. Because this all started, I'm going to tell you this. This all started because of a photo of me from about 5 years ago where I had this crazy emo hair.
The Adam Lambert kind of days, right?
It was from my Adam Lambert days. Yeah. And so that was the photo that was posted, and they're posting it as if that was current. And so I did have to make a couple corrections on that. I'm like, no, that is a very long time ago. I have grown up a little. But it's been quite a ride, and I appreciate it. There's no reason they had to do all these stories on me, and my brothers actually did a couple interviews as well, and so it turned out well. I mean, it's been a good thing, and anyone who does watch HGTV generally does know that I exist and that we do a lot of stuff together, but, you know. Good.
Well, here's the thing, too, is that you guys aren't just in front of the camera doing that. As you're creating content, you've got that production company. So give the listeners a little bit of insight, you know, that so many of them know, of course, listeners to our program. They know that you're there and that you've been doing things on a regular basis. But let people know, like, kind of what it is that you do. And then also, too, going forward, you know, now that kind of the cat is out of the bag nationally, I mean, there's a lot of exciting things that you could do project-wise that maybe, you know, you wouldn't have thought of before. Say, like, let's just do this.
Yeah, I mean, we have a lot of projects in the works or that are in the idea phase. We're constantly coming up with concepts for new shows, and some of them we're not even in. You know, they're just good ideas for shows. For me personally, I've been busy. I just came off of Brother vs. Brother, so that season 5 starts in May, and then next up, I'm in LA for Property Brothers at Home. And after that, I'm not sure. I've got some ideas that I would like to do as far as maybe travel goes, because the network that I work with is Scripps, who owns Travel Channel, Food, HGTV, DIY, yep. Great American Country. So there's a lot of options there. And I can work anywhere within that umbrella of companies or channels. So there's some good ideas, some interesting stuff. And I like to adventure, and I like to take people through the process of that adventure and let them experience it.
What I love about what you do is that you do that, right? You have these adventures, but you also stay so connected with your people, your fans, you know, whether it's social media and Facebook and some of those, and you kind of share your own thoughts and kind of just the impressions that you get from some of the experiences. I would love to see you doing one of those kind of travels. Not, you don't have to, you know, construct anything. You don't have to build a house or an addition or anything like that. But get out there and kind of share some of your thoughts and impressions as you experience some of those places out there and kind of take those viewers with you. I think that would be cool.
Yeah. And you know, that's what I try and do on social media too, is I do that on a daily basis. For anyone that follows me out there, I'm Mr. JD Scott. I'm pretty much everything. Yeah. It's just fun. I like taking the fans along with me and having that kind of close interaction with them, because I'm well aware I don't have a career without the fans. You know, they're the ones that like to see what I do, and I am very grateful and humbled because of that.
Well, you know, we love what you do, and you know, we're not alone. There's so many people out there that are excited about not only the success of all the stuff, the projects, the shows that you're doing, and of course, all the stuff that that your brothers are doing, Jonathan and Drew as well. So one more time with the social media, and then we want to find out, what was your first car?
So on social media, you can find me on everything. I'm the same handle, Mr. JD Scott. Check it out. It's going to be interesting. I can tell you that much.
Yep.
Especially the Snapchats. So my first car was a Buick Skylark, 1985. Nice. And His name was Chet.
Now, was this the kind of car that you just use, you know, basic transportation to get to school and back? Did you do any kind of road trips with the buddies or any kind of, you know, a trip off to like see a concert somewhere? I mean, does it have any great stories along with it?
Well, I was the kid in my group that had a car. So my parents helped me get this. I mean, it was kind of like an old lady car. It was very nice, but it was kind of an old lady car, but I had a car. So that was huge in high school. So I was always driving everyone everywhere. I took lots of trips, like road trips with my friends to other provinces, other cities. Let's see. So when we were 18, the drinking age in where I was 19. So we would travel to the next province over where it was 18. And, you know, you gotta find the spots where you can get your window of opportunity. But yes, it was a Buick Skylark, and I had lots and lots of fun in that car. It ended up dying in a car crash, unfortunately. Otherwise, I probably would still be driving it today.
Now, some people look back, you know, and we've talked to a lot of celebrities from all walks of notoriety, and they think about that car, and they look back and say they wish they had, you know, that car back or one of them. But the 85 Skylark, the old lady car, as you describe it, you know, it sounds like comforting, stable, reliable. Is that something that you can see in the future, J.D. Scott, you know, five-car garage, or is that something you'll just leave to the past?
You know what? I probably wouldn't get another one just because I have grown up a little bit since then. I'm not one of those guys that needs a million cars. I'm very kind of low key when it comes to that. You know, I have a truck, a motorcycle, and a Camaro right now.
Nice.
I'm pretty good with that.
It sounds good. And so as you travel throughout the course of the television broadcast schedule and people enjoy all the things that you're doing, Mr. J.D. Scott is on Twitter. You're pretty prolific there. And, of course, Facebook as well. I want to thank you for everything you're doing and encourage all the listeners to keep up with you. And thanks for being on WGN today.
No, thank you, Dane. Always fun.
Hey, this is Alexander Rossi, Indy 500 champion, and you're on the road with Dane on WGN.
I just want to stay in the sun where I find, I know it's hard sometimes.
720 WGN on the road with Dane, and here we are in the Allstate Showcase Studio. Lee Scram in the booth, Bob Kessler, or we should call him Beatbox Bob Kessler, up in the booth handling the news and any beatboxing that needs to happen. And want to let people know they can participate in the program even when we're done with our new Facebook page that we've got. It's so at least fill people in on people actually participating in it today.
Yeah, I know. It's exciting. So it's On the Road with Dane. Just search that in your search bar on Facebook. And we will post, you know, podcasts of all these different interviews after they've aired. But also, we'd love for you to get, you know, participatory with it. You can always post, you know, pictures of your first car or your favorite road trip that you've ever been on, little stories, especially if you want to get entered into that Indy 500 ticket giveaway.
Oh, yeah, 312-981-7200. In order to be entered, and everybody that that texts in or calls in with their, and Lisa's taken some of those as well, with your first car or either your favorite road trip destination, or you can, you know, give off your favorite place to see cars as we get into kind of the cruise night season. It feels like we're mid-season right now with the weather, and we've got two tickets to the Indy 500. Everybody who enters from now until May 13th, Saturday, May 13th, is going to be somebody's lucky day, as we've got two tickets for the Indy 500. And you can also email in On the Road with Dane at Gmail. We've got a bunch of those where people have written in some great stuff, a little story about their car and also some pictures as well. And as we kind of get in the swing of things with the Facebook page, we're going to start posting some of those pictures on there as well. What do you think, Lise?
Sounds like a plan, man.
Sounds like a plan. It sounds like it is time for news. So we're going to go ahead and send it to news right now.
We got spots first.
Oh, well, then we're late a little bit. All right, quick break. Then we're going to come back and send it to news. When we come back after that, we're going to have NASCAR legend, I'm pretty sure we've got him queued up, Mark Martin is going to be joining us. And then after that, we're going to spend some quality times with the guys from Automotive Mentoring Group and also Speakeasy Customs. So stay tuned. It's Dane here on 720 WGN.
Hi, everyone. This is NASCAR driver Kenny Wallace and Fox Sports analyst. You are on the road with Dane and WGN.
WGN on the road with Dane here, Allstate Showcase Studio on Michigan Avenue. And in studio is a group of guys who have been doing their part to put more people on the road in some classic cars and some of the top cars out there, making a difference in the community, but also making some great rides for people. And two separate well, they're together, right? They're obviously together, but kind of two separate entities are with us as well. One of the guys we've got Alex Levesque. He is the CEO and founder of Automotive Mentoring Group. So, Alex, welcome to WGN.
Thank you so much for having us. Thank you.
And then Gregory Alonso, Edgar Lara, and Mike Herbert from Speakeasy Customs are in studio as well, guys.
Hey, Mike, how are you doing?
Thanks for having us.
Thanks for having us, Dean.
Pleasure.
Thanks for being in here. Now, the reason that you guys are in here is Greg got a hold of me. You guys are listening to the show. I appreciate that, as a bunch of people do from all over the Chicagoland area, the Midwest, maybe 38 states in Canada at night. But you guys are doing something that isn't really going on in a lot of different places. It's an inspirational thing, but it's all tied into cars. And so, Alex, let's talk a little bit about AMG, what you're doing and why it's so special. Basically, right, you're in the community and you're trying to inspire people to get into some productive things and to get kind of distracted from some things that may be less productive. And it's all around cars.
That's exactly right. The objective with the Automotive Mentoring Group, we've been a non-for-profit that got started in Chicago back in 2012, and we've got a really unique niche, and that is the Chicago gang population, estimated over 180,000 gang members in Chicago. And Chicago has a bad reputation for a lot of crime, and we're just trying to be proactive about that. And one thing I know is that once we get these guys in the cars, that a lot of that changes. Most of it does. We're able to get these guys to go back to school to get their high school diploma and get them enrolled in community colleges that have excellent automotive programs. Because these young men and women that we work with, we train them how to restore classic cars from 1930 through 1972. So they learn how to do all the upholstery work, all the body work, all the metal fabrication. They learn how to build the cars from scratch. And it's really funny because you have a couple of young guys from Inglewood or the back of the Yards neighborhood working together on a 1967 Jaguar E-Type, which is just really a cool thing to do, or a 1950 British Riley. And these are typical cars that these guys wouldn't come in contact with in their neighborhoods, but they get a chance to work on some pretty cool stuff.
And Al, you hit on it, because cars are one of the very few things that I think transcend so many other things that could be blockades within people and culture and all that kind of stuff. Is that I don't care where you go, people love cars, you know. And if you go into the inner city and you go into maybe the gang population, they're gonna love cars too. And it's that language, I think, that love for cars, that people can kind of speak that common language and communication through the car. So what gave you the idea? I mean, were you into cars? What was your connection to cars before you started AMG?
Well, my background was architecture. You know, I was designing office buildings and working in architecture for a while, but I had a passion for classic cars from the 1930s and 40s, and started to collect those cars. And you know, that this hobby and profession has been so good to me in terms of being able to meet so many people from so many different walks of life, that I know that it can be life-changing. And I thought, well, you know what, let me try to create this mentoring program to try to get as many people involved in this as possible. And I see that it works every day when we're able to take these guys out to Manteno, Illinois, or take them out to different places around the state. And they're able to see different car builders and meet people that they typically wouldn't come in contact with. And as you said, young men and women, they're very much interested in cars. And, you know, they don't teach this trade in the school anymore. Right. So it's very important that we give these guys some exposure and show them how to work with their hands and give them a sense of accomplishment.
See, it's important, and it is one of the few things you bring up. Like, sports is one of the things that people can get excited about. But, you know, cars, people have a passion for it. But you've built in something that is not only something people will be excited about, but there's some career opportunities here. You're teaching them. You brought up a trade. Mm-hmm. You're teaching them a business, not only a business like architecture. Not everybody is super excited about architecture like you are.
Exactly.
But people love cars, but you've taught them the business side.
Well, you know, that's the other thing. It's like a lot of the guys that we deal with, and most of them, in fact, don't have a high school diploma and they haven't graduated from high school. So one of the things that we try to really press is to get them to go back and get their high school diploma so that we can get them enrolled in automotive colleges. Now, that's a real big step to be able to do that. But also, most of the guys that we deal with are already convicted felons, some of them even at 17 years old. So they're not going to be a police officer or a fireman or a doctor even, probably, for the most case. But if we can teach them how to work with their hands and how to potentially start their own business, whether it be a small sandblasting company, or if we can teach them how to do automotive upholstery, and they can do automotive upholstery or headliners, convertible tops on cars, then we are providing an opportunity for them to be able to provide for themselves and leave that life of crime that they were living behind.
Let the listeners know that was is Alex Levesque. He is CEO and founder of Automotive Mentoring Group. And you want to light that fuse. You want it to go somewhere, not only to kind of take that time of those people at that given moment, but lead to maybe a future and kind of give them time and a bright future. And we've got some people in studio that has happened with, where they were part of the program. You lit that fuse, and now it's taken on a life of its own. We've got the guys from Speakeasy Custom Classics in studio. We've got Gregory, Edgar, and Mike. And Greg, you reached out. So talk a little bit about how you got involved, how you found out about it, and just kind of your path through AMG to where you are now.
Sure. About 3 years ago, I started off with the AMG. I was in a pretty rough time in my personally. I had gone through some tragedies in my life, all in a really short period of time, about 2 years period. I lost my mother. My father-in-law passed away. My wife and I had a miscarriage, and it was just in a bad time in my life. And I was looking for something that I can preoccupy myself with and distract myself from some of the problems I was having. And I ended up knocking on Alex's door one day, and because I've always loved classic cars, and I heard about that place, and I walked in there one day, and basically by the end of the afternoon, spending with him, he made an agreement with me that he would teach me everything he knew, and as long as I would agree to mentor and become a part of the AMG in return. So I spent the next year and a half, 2 years, working with Alex and learning everything I could, from bodywork to metalwork. And I've actually turned into a welder fabricator. That's my specialty. I love working with metal. So I can bend, shape, form, whatever, and weld anything together for you. And I took those skills and I started working at another shop in the neighborhood. And from there, I decided I wanted to have my own. It's something I really was passionate about. And I had already met Mike through the AMG as well.
So you guys got together and you said, like, hey, let's do more of this. Because it's one thing to get in there. Not everybody. I mean, not everything is for everybody. And you may like cars, but may not like that process of working on them. Where some people, you know, once they get in there, they know that that's what it is that they're going to be doing. So you guys were in there benefiting from the program. Mm-hmm. And then you just decided, let's get together and let's make some cars.
Yeah. And the cool thing is everybody that's involved in our Speakeasy program is or project, I should say, is been through the program on some level. I spent 3 years there already. Our electrician, who's not here today, he spent 4 years with the program. Mike's been volunteering there for about 2 years now. And we've also bringing in the students as well that are part of the program. We've got three guys, Tony, Mars, and Ruben, thank you, that have been a big part of the program since we started in January and coming in and working with us on our projects as well. And our goal is to eventually become our own entity and have our own space where we then bring people from the AMG into our shop as mentees, or not mentees, as interns, and give them a year through our shop, and then maybe move them on to better and bigger things from there.
Wow. Okay. It starts as a program that is there to kind of serve a purpose and be sort of a beacon of activity in the community. But you know, when you give people those tools to go ahead and become that fisherman, as opposed to just giving them something for the day, I think that's really cool. When we come back from this break, we're going to talk more with Alex Levesque from Automotive Mentoring Group. We'll talk to the guys from Speakeasy on how you can get more information about what it is that they do, how you can get involved, or if you have someone in your family that you think this is a perfect fit for, we're going to have that information as well. Quick break. We'll be coming back. It's Dane Neal on the road on 720 WGN. On the road with Dane here. Allstate Showcase Studio, Michigan Avenue. You hear, is this the theme song, Alex, for
yes.
We got Alex Levesque, CEO and founder for the Automotive Mentoring Group, and we've got Gregory, Edgar, and Mike in from Speakeasy Customs. Guys, welcome back.
Thanks so much.
Thanks. Hearing Greg talk a little bit about not only what it is that they have done and are doing, but we're inspired to do this. This isn't something they were obligated to do. This is something that kind of fit right in with the path of least resistance that went with their passions, but it's got to be rewarding, Alex, to have them not only be a part of the success story and something you can point to, but integrated themselves into what it is that you guys are doing, where you can say, like, here's something front and center, and even participating in some of these things as you're going forward.
It is absolutely great and heartwarming to see that happen. I am extremely proud of these guys because they're doing some awesome work. They're working really hard. They've done a lot with the Speakeasy Customs. I mean, everything from designing their whole brand of clothing to business cards to postcards to logos to everything in between. And it all came out of just a seed that was planted some years ago, perhaps a year ago. Greg, who's a student at Morton College and had a 4.0 GPA, all A's, and I gave him for that a 47 Cadillac. And
that's an incentive to get in there and do some homework.
It
was a pretty rough car, but you know, I gave them the training to go with it to restore it, and from that came Speakeasy. And now these guys are working on four 1949 Cadillacs. I mean, it is just really awesome, and it is awesome to connect them with guys from the community, from the Back of the Yards neighborhood to Humble Park to Inglewood to Austin on the west side. And these are guys that don't necessarily have the best education, but they're working alongside of Greg and Mike and Edgar and the rest of the guys. And they're encouraged and inspired by those guys as well. And I think that that is the way that you create permanent change. And then lastly, I'll just say that, everybody in Chicago is kind of perplexed about what to do about the violence. And I think this is a perfect way to kind of intervene and solve it all, because what we have to do is we have to teach these young men that are, creating this violence how to be men. And what better way than to use cars as a catalyst to be able to do that, so that a lot of these guys have kids already. They already have 2 or 3 year old sons. So we have to teach them how to raise their sons in a better way and get their sons involved in this hobby and profession so that their sons will be better fathers to their kids. And that's the long-term solution to solving this problem.
Part of it, I think, is spreading that message and sharing the message. And I think you have to be a unique and talented ambassador to do that. And you obviously are. Do you, as they get out there, as Greg and the guys here from Speakeasy get out there and tell that story and they become their own ambassadors, exactly, as they have, you mentioned like the marketing side with the merchandising and all that.
Right.
But do you a little bit of mentoring on the informational side, kind of teaching them maybe that media training or how best to kind of share that message?
Oh yeah, of course, as best as I know how. And then Mike, we have an inside joke around the shop because he's the wordsmith. So, he's the one that's able to, make the story come to life on paper. And then we got Greg, who is our certified shop nerd, who knows a little bit about everything. So the two of them, we managed to get it done.
For those people who want to get more information, get involved, whether it's to participate or whether it's to support and expand some of the things that you're doing, Alex, give the information for the website where people can get a hold of you.
Okay. I'm going to say probably the best way to connect with us would be to simply Google Automotive Mentoring Group. We do have a website, which is automotivementoringgroup.wordpress.com, but Google is the best source. There's about 18 pages of information, everything from CBS Evening News to being nominated for the CNN Hero Award and everything in between. It's all there. There's a lot of video that will just make the story crystal clear. And then one last point I want to make about the Automotive Mentoring Group is that I started out by saying that, our niche is Chicago gang members, and that is absolutely true. But a person does not have to have a gang affiliation to be a part of Automotive Mentoring Group. It's open to anyone, anywhere, any age. We're just trying to be of service and do some good.
It's exciting stuff, and it's great to have. Thank you so much for what you're doing and doing in the community. Before we let you go, guys, really quick, give the information about Speakeasy, where people can get a hold of you guys and get themselves a Cadillac made.
The best is www.speakeasycustomsclassics.com.
Oh, that's great. Yeah. Well, thanks, guys, for coming in. We're going to stay in touch. We're going to keep everybody posted on some of the activities for both of you guys going forward. I love the car. You guys made me a 74 Monte Carlo drawing. That is awesome. I want to thank everybody who listened to the show. Thanks to everybody who participated here on the road with Dane. We're going to be back next week. But right now, it is 4 o'clock. WGNRadio.com and WGN.